So I've talked before on this podcast about people's obsession with real life crime. On like Netflix, that is, or Amazon Prime. Amazon Crime, as I call it. Yeah. It's all crime on these things. On Amazon Crime. Real life crime. You know, it's the same story on the news, isn't it? Oh, that's awful. Oh, how tragic if it's on the news. Oh, God, I feel for the family. I can't watch that. If it's on the news, If it's on Netflix, the same story, or on Amazon Crime, oh, this is so fucking exciting. Get the popcorn in and the beers in and let's have a scream in front of this brutal, terrible crime. What's your favourite crime, guys? Is it making a murderer? Oh, he's innocent. Oh, he's guilty. Oh my God, the burn pit. Oh, fucking sexy. Is it Tiger King? She definitely killed her husband. Is it the Cecil Hotel? Oh, look at the funny way she's moving. Open another bag of popcorn. Oh, she's dead. Oh, let's play Shag, Marry, Kill. Oh, who would I kill? That's a fun game. Kids, we're playing a fun game. This is a brilliant family game. So it's hard to choose my favourite crime that I've watched. It's probably Dennis Nilsen, Serial Killers on Channel 5 in the UK, because I was in that programme playing Dennis Nilsen's final victim, Stephen Sinclair. And I remember the lying, being dead, pretending to be dead, in one of my most challenging acting roles to date. I started to go over, because I had to lie there for a while, I started to go over all the crimes I'd committed in my life. Actual criminal offences. And tried to work out which was my favourite crime. And I think I have a top three. I mean, I think there's only three, really. Number three, driving offences. You know, speeding, I've got a few of those. They're criminal offences, right, you know. My favourite one, driving at 25 miles an hour in a 20 miles an hour zone. Come on, Netflix. Where's my Netflix special? Come on, Amazon Crime. Call it 25 miles an hour. The thrilling true story of Nathan Cassidy's third favourite crime. Now, you may be in America, whatever, or somewhere in the world where you don't do miles an hour. 25 miles an hour, just that's kind of the equivalent of... it's slightly slower than walking pace. If you have a bad leg. So you get a fine for this in the UK, and you can either take penalty points on your licence or you attend a half-day course. So that's what I did, of course. Attended the half-day course, of course. So I went along with 25 other people who'd all been caught doing 20 to 25 miles an hour. There was someone on this course, from memory, who had done 21 miles an hour. There's a myth that you can't get done. He was doing 21 miles an hour in a 20 miles an hour zone, which again is approximately the speed of an ant waddling towards some bread on the side of the road. So we'd spent like 3 hours on this course, of course, telling us why going 21 miles an hour was dangerous, but 20 miles an hour was fine. And to be honest, I think this particular course was hardest for the invigilator. Because the invigilator had to convince this group of people that 21 miles an hour isn't dangerous. 21 miles an hour is dangerous. Had to convince people that 21 miles an hour was dangerous and 20 miles an hour isn't. And at the end of the course, I remember the invigilator said, well, hope you've had a useful day. And there was like a few huffs, because nobody had really. And he said, is there any questions? Are there any questions? Someone put his hand up and said, this big geezer at the back, and said, yeah, I have a question. Well, it's more feedback really. I think this is just a load of old bollocks. It's a money-making scheme. It's just a load of old bollocks. And the invigilator said, okay, and that's where we'll leave it. And as he walked out, fucking genius. I have a feeling the invigilator actually agreed with him. And as he walked slowly out of the room, I actually did clock him at 21 miles an hour. Crime number two, stealing sweets. Between the ages of 11 and 18, I stole undoubtedly hundreds, possibly thousands of sweets from my local shop. Very local, as it was the shop we lived above and owned. But still technically stealing, right? As my mum didn't know about it. Maybe she did, looking back, I don't know. You know, just thinking about it, the shop was just attached to our kitchen. It was off the kitchen door. So really, it was just more or less a fucking great big treat cupboard. That's why I have a big treat cupboard now in my house, always full of chocolate and biscuits and crisps. This was my treat cupboard, the shop. There was jars of sweets, like an old-style sweet shop. That was the best thing. You could steal. You could take your time. You could steal a curated pick and mix. It's not often when you steal sweets from a shop, you can really spend time browsing. It's just really relaxed stealing. My parents used to go out in the evening sometimes, occasionally. I could spend like an hour or 2 hours in there picking a bag full of curated sweets. It was absolutely brilliant. I remember going to the dentist as a kid. I used to open my mouth and he used to say, fucking hell. Fucking hell, kid. Do you live in a sweet shop? And he used to smile and say, well, technically, yes. And as I smiled, another tooth would gently fall to the floor. Anyway, crime number one, I often think about, because it was an actual real life, potential trouble with the police, serious crime I committed when I was a kid. So yeah, when I was a kid, the phone boxes, the public phone boxes had a return money chute, not like the ones you have now, in this country anyway, but it was a thin little tunnel that you could easily block up with chewing gum, right? So me and a mate did this. We used to block this chute up with chewing gum. We used to scamper back to the flat above the sweet shop where I carried out my soft crime to look at my hard crime in action, as people used to come to the phone box across the road and put their 10p's in or whatever, and they were swallowed up by my elaborate heist. Then at the end of the day, I'd go back to the phone box with my mate and we'd collect the swag, which was often upwards of 30 pence. And after, I'd say, one day of doing this, you know, it was exciting. It was nerve-shredding. It has all the ingredients of a brilliant Netflix or Amazon crime, true crime documentary series. I don't know how they'd spin it out to 10 parts, but if anyone can, Netflix and Amazon crime can. And a series two. I said to my mate, I want to stop doing this, actually. I'm too nervous. I think I'm going to get in trouble with the police. And my mate said, Nathan, you're 8 years old. I'm 9 years old. You can't get into trouble with the police in the UK until you're 10. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, look it up. So we looked it up in the encyclopedia. And there it was, children under 10 can't be charged with a crime. And I was like, fucking fantastic. So I was was like 8 and a half, so I knew I had about a year and a half. So that's what we did. We extended this robbery operation all over Birmingham and the West Midlands area, nicking chewing gum from the shop, bombing around town at just over 20 miles an hour, rigging up all these phone boxes. And over the course of that year and a half, I reckon we stole approximately £3 million from the population of the West Midlands. And I'm still living off that money today. Or at least that's the story I'll be telling on Netflix or Amazon Prime. Who wants it, motherfuckers? It's going to be called the Birmingham Bubblegum Bastard. Who wants it? Nobody wants it. Fucking hell. Story of my life.